Welcome to The Morning Crew, a grief podcast hosted by three gals in their mid-20s. Here, talking about grief is completely normal and a part of our everyday life. So grab a cup of coffee or a drink. Grief conversations can actually be that casual. So let's talk about it.
Everybody, I am so excited that the three of us from the Morning Crew are officially together virtually in 2025. This is actually our first recording in a while just because we've had some crazy life events and ups and downs. But overall, I'm very happy to be back with the both of you and to be talking to both of you today. And as always, our lives come first, so we hold space for that and then for our podcast after. So hopefully everyone also loved my Little Wicked reference too, which Mads' dog has joined our pod today, and her name is Elfie, named after Elphaba, so very on brand too. She says hi. Aw, so cute. But I did want to kind of acknowledge and talk about and kick things off of all of these life changes and updates. I guess I will start. I have a very exciting life update that I got a new job, and that job led me to New York, which has been a dream of mine for the last 3 years. And if I recall correctly, I think on the first episode that we ever recorded, I said, I hope to be in a new city soon. And that was 3 years ago. And so I finally feel like I really worked really hard to make this dream happen. And also apply to jobs that, and I will be honest, I was applying to jobs like all over the place to get me to New York. And I really feel like, I'll say that I'm not a person that believes everything happens for a reason, but I do think that timing does play a factor in life, and the right door opened at the right time when I was applying. And now I get to work in the sports industry, which is also kind of a dream that I never even thought I wanted until I got it, to be honest. So I am super, super happy. I have also been traveling a lot during the time right after I moved, so I haven't really fully immersed myself in New York life, but I'm excited after this week to really be kind of just in the thick of it and setting up my apartment and living solo for the first time in my life. Like, that's completely new for me. Granted, again, I've been traveling so much, there haven't been a lot of days where I have been alone in my apartment, but it's definitely been an adjustment. But so far, so good. And yeah, that's been like a very, very exciting new chapter for me. It feels like I'll give just my one overall sentiment is like, I always felt like I had one foot in, one foot out for the last 3 years in LA. And I finally feel like both my feet are like planted in New York right now.
I'm so proud and so happy for you. And I think I said this when Kelsey, I don't know if I said it on air or off, when Kelsey moved in by herself, I'm just like, I think it's also such like a freeing thing. Like, I think that I did it for 4 years, and I think I would love everybody that I love to do it, because you really learn so much and it's tough. And I'm just so proud of you, because like you said, you've been talking about it for so long. And I think I literally like shrieked out loud whenever you sent that text. I was so excited. And now Will's obsessed with New York, and he's keeps saying his friend Kathy moved there, so now we have to go visit. So hopefully we're on the same time zone.
I cannot wait for the Will and Mads visit.
We're on the same time zone now, which is so fun.
I know.
Yes, my East Coast gals, I'm now the only one left on the West Coast, but also same sentiment. Was just literally my entire, both for Mads and I, our entire relationship of knowing you, we knew this was a dream of yours. And it's just, as cheesy as it sounds, like so fun to watch somebody you care about execute on their dream and to watch you doing it. And I think you had like a fun text because you're on the Upper East Side, like a Gossip Girl reference, like XOXO, and like all of us just like so happy and celebratory and love hearing the feeling that both of your feet are beneath you now. Do you feel like you have an identity shift being in New York, living on your own, taking on a new job? Like, do you feel like this is the biggest mark of a new chapter that you've had as an adult?
I definitely do feel like it's the biggest mark of a new chapter. And there's so much, like, there are so many blank pages ahead, and I don't even know what they're going to be filled with. So it's hard to say, like, that I feel a complete identity shift because I don't know who I am yet in New York. And I think I'm excited to figure that out. I think naturally things will change and shift a little bit just being here. But I also think, like, in so many other life chapters, I do believe, and I hope that – I think that my friends would say the same, that I really stay core to, like, my values and who I am as a person. And, like, I don't think that'll ever change within me. And I hope that that doesn't change even with any location, but brings out a side of me that, like, maybe LA, for example, wouldn't have brought out. I do feel like when I visited New York – even though that was like more of a vacation mindset, there was a new sort of found confidence that I feel like I had when I was in the city. So I'm eager to learn if that confidence like stays while I'm here. Because also New York is cutthroat too and can swallow you up. So I'm just kind of like seeing like, okay, is that confidence going to last like as a resident or was that just like vacation, Kathy?
I love that. I vote and I have a good gut feeling that the confidence is going to last. I think the feeling of like you accomplished something you've wanted to do, you landed in an industry you were excited to be in, that feeling of like, I did this, like you got yourself your own place. Like I think that inherently will build your confidence that you just were in tune with what you wanted and you executed on it as a baseline. And I think New York will still feel fun. You know what I mean? Like, yes, it can swallow you up, quote unquote, but I think it'll still feel fun. I feel like you got there like right at good weather time where it's going to be warming up and like you're going to be in the flow of all of that. But I do have to ask too, because tied to LA, like your family home, like you had only lived in LA, you went to college in LA, and that's all of your life, your childhood, your memories with your dad, your memories growing up. Like there has to be some mental shift or maybe weird passing of the torch in that sense of moving on in a different life phase. And I was just curious how you were feeling, and it is still fresh, but like as you're processing that side of things.
Yeah, I feel like and this is actually something that the three of us were texting today even about. And I feel like, to be quite honest, I have been in such go, go, go mode with the traveling, with work, figuring out a new job. Like there's so many changes all at once. I changed my job. I changed my boss. I changed the time zone I'm in. I changed my living arrangements like twice while I've been here. I've been staying with people and now I'm living on my own. There's been so much change that like I don't think my body has like processed this and like Mads was kind of like quoting her therapist today, talking about kind of like the left side and the right side of our brains. And like all of those, like I've been in kind of survival mode in a happy survival mode, if that makes sense, of like, oh my gosh, so exciting. Got to go do this and I got to go do that. And every night I'm thinking like, okay, I don't have this piece of furniture. Like, what am I going to get next week? Or like, I don't have trash liners. Like, I need to go buy those. Like, it's like all of these things, like always on your mind that I really don't feel like I've had a moment to be like, how am I feeling? But I will say there was one moment, funny enough, this was on a date. And yes, I have already gone on a date while I've been here because
yeah.
I'll just add to the chaos of the craziness.
Love it.
And on this date, the guy asked me, so like, how are you feeling about moving? Or like, how does it feel now that you're here? And it was like the first time that I took a moment to be like, huh, I don't feel like I've like sat down and like thought about how am I feeling today. I've just thought about what do I have to get done today. And I was like, honestly, I feel really, really happy. And he was like, that's such a good feeling to like obviously have and to actually like acknowledge for yourself. And then he said something to me of like, haven't your friends asked you how you're doing? Like, I can't be the first person that has like asked you this. And I was like, no, they definitely have. I think I've just was never really present maybe during those conversations. And that was on me, not on them. They have been checking in. Everyone's checked in. But it was the first time that I felt like I was taking that moment. And it was just a weird time that was the first time that I was taking that moment. But honest.
Good on him for checking in on you, and good on you for going on a date right away. Sex in the City energy out the gate. I love it.
I think when you went on this trip, I don't know. I'm sure you guys didn't touch on it because we had a guest in the last episode, but you were kind of updating your friends on your adventures on your trip through like a big group shared album. And I feel like we need like your New York adventures to be documented with like, because you would send it. And, like,
somebody said that to me the other day.
I wrote it with captions. I wrote to you. I was like, this is my favorite social media platform. It's just like in my shared album, keeping up with you. So I think we need some New York content.
Yeah, major plug for shared albums being your second Instagram. If anyone wants to take this tip, it's like a private little album, you know, on your iPhone that you can only invite certain people to, and you can live update people with like pictures you wouldn't want to post publicly or even on close friends if that's like just not the vibe, and people can comment on it and then see others and like what they've commented on it. And I did this recently for one of my vacations, and so that's what Mads is referencing. And a couple of friends have been like, we need that kind of format for your New York like life updates and stuff, which is really funny. But I'll think about if I want to do some sort of like virtual diary like that. And then it's something to look back on too, of like, oh, remember when I was doing that?
It's a great thing to look back on, actually, comments and all, like such a funny thing to look back on. But yeah, and it's also like, instead of having a million separate group chats with all your friends, it was a way for you to consolidate like all of your friends who you would be giving updates in one. And I'd never seen anyone do that. And I also loved it. So it is a general plug for anyone listening. If you want to keep your friends up to date, something in your life. And we're not just talking like, oh, I think people do this maybe when they like have kids and they update cute baby pictures. Imagine it as like unhinged behind the scenes photos, comments, videos. So that is our tip for you all today. Not grief related, but in a way to keep connected with everyone in your life.
And then I actually also did want to mention one of like in the first couple of weeks, I had the really fun opportunity to go to Carla's, who is the author that we just interviewed on our last episode, book launch party here in New York. So that was also like one of my first events, like going to something like that, which felt like at the time also like so Sex in the City that I was like going to this book premiere party in New York. It was very cool. And it was kind of a reminder too to myself of like finding community here, bringing this back to grief and connecting it back to the pod of like, she's part of the dinner party, obviously a co-founder of the dinner party. And so there were members there, outreach members, people trying to get others to host tables or have host training for tables. It reminded me that I could build community here in New York with other grievers or people that are really connected to me. There are limited tables at the dinner party, but it really just kind of like inspired me to keep tabs on when new tables pop up, how to become involved, or seeking out just like other ways of support or community through grief that I think like in LA, to be honest, I didn't really seek that out. But I know I had this format and you guys, and of course, other people that have lost others that I could lean on. But it almost feels like for some reason, being away from home almost more important that I seek out that type of community. And so I will say that's one thing that I have like reflected on. And that goes for just even outside of grief too, just finding groups of people that I connect with through common interests or shared experience, like whether that's through clubs or intramural sports or whatever, but like really kind of diving into that Whereas in LA, I was just so comfortable with my routine that I didn't really seek that out.
Yeah, it's like, wouldn't you go off to college if you leave your hometown and go to college? And it's like, to make a big school feel smaller, you got to join the clubs and the sororities and things like that. And it's that same sentiment. But I'm so glad that the timing of that all worked out, that you did get to be at the book launch party. And she was so sweet to invite you right away. And like, so you could feel and be reminded that you have like such a big piece of you connected to you in this new chapter of your life and in New York. And I hope it does work out that you can join a New York table. Like, even if you only do it for a little bit, or you can only make some events, like, I think it would probably be a powerful, like you said, community building, and to keep in touch with that part, as you don't know how grief things are maybe going to feel adjusting in a new city and in your new life. So like getting ahead of it almost and having that community teed up, I think will be really good.
Yeah, I agree, Kelsey, with everything you said about that. And I'm curious to know, you probably don't have an answer yet because you said you're still getting like dipping your toes in. But I'd be curious to see like if, you know, the grief thoughts, or like your, you know, even a, like not a grief, but like a missing of like your LA and like what you knew. And like as you've become like more ingrained in New York, if like there's things that pop up with your dad or like anything that just like you wouldn't expect when you have a change of scenery, because like you said, there's just been so much change. I don't do well with change, but I feel like there's been so much, like you said, you've been going. So I'm curious to see kind of how it all plays out, and I'm so freaking excited for you.
Thank you. I also don't do well with change. So this is like, it's crazy for like to want such a huge change, but then also not do well with change. Like, I don't feel like I'm kind of like, my body's kind of confused by that and like mentally confused, but I am also curious to see what happens. I think you mentioned something there that made me curious of like grief of a location of LA. And I think maybe Kelsey, that's what you were touching on earlier, but like, I don't think I've gotten there yet. Definitely like my friends and relationships that are in LA. Like, I have FOMO all the time about all the things that I'm missing, but it just inspires me to like live life fully here and like create strong memories here with people and relationships that I have here. But yeah, it will be interesting to see like what grief related things come up with like the city of LA. And I also didn't want this to go unmentioned, but as always, you guys are such a strong support system for like so many things. I mean, personally, that have happened in my life, especially the last 3 years, but like even more so, I was interviewing during like the LA fires, which were a huge mental toll on anybody in LA at that time. And I honestly don't think we've even really addressed that on the pod, but it was a really chaotic, mentally draining, like 2 weeks being in LA during that time. And I just want to like really say thank you to the both of you who like helped me through that whole kind of like final round interview process, where I felt like I was in survival mode, but in the opposite way of like, I don't know what to do and I can only focus on like getting my case study done, because that is can distract me from like literally the terror that's happening outside the window. And Mads was checking in on me like every day. Kelsey did a mock interview with me where I got to present to her. Like, just so, so, so grateful for that support, because like that really carried me through and literally wouldn't be here like without having that support. So thank you both for that.
Oh, of course. Of course. Yeah. Now that sadly seems like such a long time ago, but it is a huge thing that so many people dealt with and endured. The LA fires was such, it was like living hell on planet Earth. Like, it was indescribably tragic and horrible. And I think obviously you directly were impacted by living through it, and all the friends and family that we know who were dealing with it. And it was just like the trickle effect, and also grief of that way, whether it was grief of a home, grief of humans, grief of pets, grief of your city, grief of full towns, like people in the Palisades lost like full communities and towns, and the dimensions of grief there, so intense. So I'm so glad you did reach out to us and like let us help in any way that we could, just be support and be outside people who had a little bit more battery life, just not being in the actual LA area to help. And that's what we try to speak on here, is to like use your rings of people and your support when those times happen. So I was happy to help and beyond thrilled that it all worked out and you got the job.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And you're right. I feel like that seemed like it was a very long time ago, and it was so scary and devastating and heartbreaking. And I remember like it's there's that hard part of like when something bad or scary is happening, like we got to FaceTime every day almost. Like that was like, it's like, that was like, we would FaceTime, you'd check in, you'd tell me where the fires were, you'd tell me about your interview process. Like, it's like one of those things, like when shit gets really scary and like hits the fan and you need your support system, it's like a little like tiny silver lining that like, I mean, I'm grateful we, like Kelsey said, we were able to mm-hmm. be a part of it with you and like be there with you. And I think we both knew it was gonna, or had a feeling it was gonna work out for you because you'd worked so hard on the whole process of it. And in like the devastation of, I mean, we FaceTimed once and you could just see like smoke from where your backyard was. Like, I think you had a lot going on in that time, and I think you handled it all very well, and you should be really proud of yourself. Because there was, I like, until you mentioned it, you're right, it just seemed like it was so long ago, and I forgot that was all going on simultaneously. And then, you know, you had to make moves, and you did it, and now you're here. And yeah, I'm grateful that we were able to connect with you and kind of walk you guys through that too, or walk you through that.
Yeah, no, I, again, just appreciate that so much. And I mean, I was super fortunate to have all that, all of my family members and my home was safe, and most of like my inner circle was not fully impacted by like loss of a home. But of course, like, it was impossible not to know a person that was affected. So my heart still goes out to all of those people who are still grieving and dealing with the aftermath of that, because I know it's a long process and journey. But enough about me. Moving on to you guys and your updates. Wanted to ask Kelsey, because honestly, I didn't even know that you were kind of involved in this women's group at work until I saw it in the notes for our podcast today, which, yes, there are notes for every episode. A little
BTS.
But yeah, so I'm super curious to hear more about this, a grief women's group at work, and kind of like how you've navigated that, leading it, how you've been feeling through it all, and what kind of like inspired you to get involved with a group like this.
Yes. Yeah. I was like, honestly, it came up and I was like, I'll just tell them about it when we record. We'll save this content for the pod. But so the Giants have done an amazing job of having employee resource groups. And the biggest and first group was Momentum, which is the women's group. So anyone who's a woman working at the Giants is a part of it. And I've been involved in different ways throughout my – since it started, essentially. And I think I've probably in past episodes given them a shout out. I think I've quoted that after my mom passed, the first flowers sent to our house was from the Momentum group, from the Giants. Like, they are on it. They're so supportive. And then I think I've also talked about that I had a lot of, since, you know, none of my peers had gone through the loss of a parent in my immediate circle, really. We had Mallory on, but while living in San Francisco, no one living here did. But there were some women at the Giants who went out of their way to reach out to me and like meet with me outside of work to talk to me and help support. My friend, I'll give a special shout out to Casey, because we are now co-leaders together. She had lost her mom at a younger age too. And then unfortunately, she a few years ago has now also lost her dad, and she's only not that much older than me. But she, her effort to chat with me, I remember, was so touching and helpful. And she was just like a great support. And that was just like unofficially her supporting me on her own. So shout out to Casey. And then coming into this year, Momentum decided to reorganize itself. Instead of just kind of like randomly putting people in what we called squads, they said, let's do themed-based squads. So there's like the fitness, the moms, the wedding planning, which is really creative. I give anyone, like, anyone should run with this. It's a great way to organize people. But they had the idea of creating a Here For You squad to help women who are grieving at any stage of grieving, anyone, any way that looks. And they just kind of like asked a few people about it and people really jumped onto it. And they approached Casey and I together to be the co-leaders of the squad. And I think it was important that there was someone to do it with. I think it would have felt like a lot, to, like just same with like a podcast, like so key to have the team effort. And Casey was so on it with me and such a great support and had like we just clicked from that way. So once I knew that it was developed and I would get to do it with her, even though, yes, there's a little bit of an emotional toll with it, I was like, also, this is a no-brainer. Of course, I'm going to do it with her. But it's been cool because we've been able to completely make it as we want. Like, there's no other real structure other than just however we want it to be. So we have a Slack group channel where we kind of said, give us, like, you know, the names and what happened with the people who've passed, kind of where you are in your stage of grief, like how comfortable are you talking about it on a scale of 1 to 10? Would you feel comfortable with in-person meetings? And everyone on the Slack channel like put photos and put their descriptions and everyone was talking. And so we're like, okay, there's traction here. And, you know, of course, all confidential, but it ranged from people who were grieving someone who passed away less than a month ago to grieving someone from their childhood to grieving pets to grieving grandparents to grieving siblings and parents. So it's just a reminder, as we know with this podcast, that we don't realize how many people are enduring and dealing with grief in some way. And we had our one and only, our first in-person meeting that was so powerful. So we had people submit photos that we put up on slides, and we were all in a room for like an hour, and we went slide by slide and let everyone just kind of share what they felt comfortable sharing about their people. And it was so powerful, and everyone was so present. Everyone put their phones in a bowl, so no one even had their phones distracting them on them. And people just sat there and shared and listened. And I swear, as the hour went on, people somehow got more and more open and vulnerable about how much they shared. So like Casey and I started, and we even came back like separately. We're like, we don't even feel like we shared enough at the end of the day. We were blown away by how open everyone was, and everyone responded so positively that they felt like having that space to like be heard at work and feel supported and feel like their coworkers can know. And so now we're just trying to build off of that and be tactful and do like a once a month in-person meeting, but keep up Slack conversations. We now have a process for if we hear of a woman who's recently lost somebody, like an outreach support of being like, no pressure to join, but we're here for you. We even like are going to see if we can make other changes within the company around grief. So I don't know if there's like other groups that exist like this at all. And like, it's obviously we don't mean to exclude men intentionally. It's just like through the women's network, maybe we can help impact men as well. I'm sure they could use grief support. But for now, the one thing though that has been hard, I will say as a final comment and I'll stop talking, the internal group meeting was very powerful, but I felt like it was a safe space. At an all staff where everyone was there, they were introducing, because it was International Women's Day, and so they were spotlighting Momentum, and they had all the squad leaders introduce themselves and like why they were in their squad. And so for the people who were like, I did pop culture because I like concerts, and someone else is like, and I did this one. And then it like Casey, who so sweet, she just wasn't there that day. So then it came to me, and in front of the whole company, I had to say, I'm doing the grief one, and it's because I lost my mom. And, you know, I found a lot of support here, and I just want to support other people who are grieving, and then like quickly pass the mic to the next person. And I definitely did feel that little bit of like flush in my cheeks. Like that's like no one else is talking about anything heavy and just the nature of it. Like I kind of had to in front of the whole company. And I think I kind of remember just like maybe leaving work like slightly earlier that day, or just feeling like I didn't want to run into people immediately after that. I didn't know the range of people who knew and who didn't. So like the really all facing public stuff, that was a little much, but I am excited otherwise to shape the group and be a part of it.
That is so freaking cool. I love that your company's doing that with, I mean, the sectors, like you said, so creative. And then, you know, having, you know, something like grief and things that people don't talk about. And like, I think it's also really cool the whole way that you explained like in-person meeting, like being intentional, not being on your phones, not being distracted. Like, it sounds like such a really cool and great resource and community. I was curious if whenever you first got asked, if you had any like hesitations about it. And I was also curious if you talked or told them about the podcast.
Yes. So I it was funny, like I didn't directly mention the podcast, but Casey, the co-leader, was like, Kelsey has a podcast. Everyone should listen to it. Like she was kind of the hype girl to like point it out. Cause I didn't want people to feel like I'm doing this to promote the podcast. And even when I joined like a dinner party table, it's the same thing. Like I held the podcast back a little bit because I didn't want to look like I'm just here to promote the podcast, which is not true. But I have since had people listen to it and reach out and say that it was a really great resource. So that's really sweet. I had a little hesitation, and part of it was because I'm like, damn, one of my extracurriculars is already grief related. Am I really going to add like a second grief related extracurricular where like, is this just who I am? Is this like all I do with my time? But I was like, it wasn't such a deep hesitation. It was more a little bit of like, okay, nope, this is what I'm doing. This makes sense. It's the right timing. It's with the right person. I'm not, you know, shouldering it all by myself. I have this great person who is so organized and so well-versed in grief, and we are very in lockstep. But I did have that thought of like, I am just becoming the grief girl now. Just that's all I do. But I think it is extra vulnerable to do it with coworkers where you're running into each other in coworker settings. And we now kind of are like, ooh, we all know like all these really intimate details. But it goes back to the larger goal of normalizing it. And the more we normalize it, the better we are going to be able to live kind of day to day with it. We're even talking through like gathering everyone's people's like birthdays or death anniversaries and having them fill out a survey if they want reach out on either or both days from like the rest of the group. Like, and so I also think the two will just support each other. Like the podcast will help support that and that will help support this. So hopefully that is all good.
I am just also like so proud of you too for like taking this initiative and kind of like, I think Carla would describe this as being renegade with grief and really taking like the power back into your hands of like what you can do with it instead of letting grief like consume you. It's what we talk about, how we do it here and also how you're applying it at work too. And I think it's really evident when you say everyone started opening up more as time went on, that there is clearly a need for more of these forums and spaces because we just don't have them, or people are holding all of these thoughts and feelings in all the time because they don't have a place, and work might be the only place now that they have. It kind of reminds me similar to like my school support group that I think I've talked about in high school. It's like exactly like that, where it's like, okay, there's already just a built-in network at a place that you already go to that's an easily accessible kind of community, and is really just really great that you're offering that now, because like I said, it just might be the only place people will talk about it or have ever talked about it, and that's really special to them, whether you know that or not, like whether you know that it's their only forum or not. I'm sure it is. I can imagine it is for some. So that's really, really special. And I was also kind of curious, kind of like, did you feel like people like made any comments to you or reached out to you, especially after that day where like it was just you announcing to the entire staff meeting like about that? Like, did you receive any comments, and like how did that make you feel?
Yeah, I had one of my friends definitely made it, because I think I got more like, oh, she brushed over it, so like I'm not gonna really say anything. I think I had a lot of people just kind of try to dance around it with me, but I did have one of my friends say, good job, you did it as always, like a beautiful job of touching on something that's really hard and saying it, but just keep moving it on, and like saying it in a way that like makes sense in a really public space. But I'm sure it's still hard, and I appreciated the call out in that way, where I was like, I'm not going to lie, that's weird, but I'm not going to give the full deep story with all the details. And I think the podcast has just kind of shaped, obviously, I know how to talk about it, but still, we don't talk in a room full of people when we are recording. So Yeah. And a couple other people kind of gave me like a pat on the back or maybe an extra hug or like an extra like look, you know, like after that I probably wouldn't have gotten if I was just talking about one of the other groups. But I was surprised that I did feel a little bit like I wanted to retract and just like not be around a lot of people after that, because it was just like, I didn't want the spotlight. I didn't want the opportunity almost for more people to like come up to me or say anything, because even though you can easily find this information out about me like on Google or on my Instagram, I still have that feeling of like, I don't want it to be the thing that people associate when they see me and when they talk to me. I know I can't control that actually, but I just don't want to be like the girl with the dead mom. Like, I just don't want to be that. I want to just be looked at and talked to like the normal colleague and whatever I bring to the table. I don't know if you guys have felt that type of thing too or have experienced that, but I'm just like, don't pity me. Don't treat me differently at work or like anything like that. Like, I just want to be the Kelsey normal at work. And so yes, from that way, I'm like, you know, people who knew, but then I'm like, that was a new venue. If there were like new employees who were listening and now they know. And I just, again, it's like, I think I just heard on the Tinks podcast of like other people's opinions of you is like none of your business or whatever. Like, it's one of those, like, you can't control it anyway. And like, people are going to think about you what they're going to think. But ideally, if I could magically control everyone, I don't want that to be the first thing that people think of. But in some ways, maybe it's, you know, in the way that it's helped people, like, I guess that's fine and something to sit with. But yeah, I just don't want it to be the main thing.
Yeah, I can definitely relate to that. I feel like growing up, especially maybe in like communities where you're an outlier or it hasn't happened to a lot of other people and you feel like different than them because they haven't experienced it, is more so where you don't want to be like known as that person because it just so easily can come to mind. And like, I probably was. I mean, in middle school, I definitely was the girl with the dead dad, like 1000%, whether I want to like admit that or not. Luckily, at that time, I was in such numb frozen zone that I like those thoughts didn't even enter my mind. When I got to high school, I feel like things were a bit more like little fish in bigger pond at that point. And then there was like the support group that I mentioned. So there were more of us. And that was the first time I was introduced to more of us. So that made me feel like way less like I'm not the only one. There's a bunch of people here who have lost siblings or parents, and we're all kind of in this together. But I totally understand like not wanting that to be associated with your identity. And it's hard also when we have a podcast and then you're doing all of these like outreach things and you're like, okay, well, this is kind of becoming like a part of me, but I don't want it to be all of me. And one note on that too is like, this is just a personal thing that that your story made me think of like when I was leaving my last job, like I didn't tell a lot of people at work about the podcast. But I think I mentioned to you all that I added it to LinkedIn, and that was also around the time that I was applying to jobs, and I felt very like unsure about that, of whether or not I should add it to LinkedIn and people could see that. My boss has never brought it up to me in like whether he read it on my resume and ignored it or saw it on my LinkedIn and ignored it, but hasn't brought it up. However, when I sent my like goodbye email to all of my coworkers, it had my LinkedIn in there, and I got some messages from my previous like job coworkers being like, oh my gosh, like you have a podcast, or like, what is this about? And it kind of felt for me a bit more comfortable, like, okay, and now that I'm leaving and I don't have to like interact every day with you all, I'm more comfortable talking about this. But it was like an interesting like, oh yeah, like it's there and it's public and it's becoming more public for me. And I knew that I added it there, but I didn't really think about like how it would pop up or like something like that where I was sharing my LinkedIn with people and stuff. But it's always just kind of a weird concept sometimes, even as public as we are, and knowing that other people and coworkers especially like know so much or can know so much about your life.
Yeah, that is a That's a weird feeling. And like you said, it's not good that you don't like, you're not going to see people that, you know, even though technically I think your new coworkers can know and see that too. And it's also interesting because remember, I think I said it on the podcast, but I brought it up in my job interview and like, that's how I could like help with like kind of what I'm doing. And no one else has brought it up. Like it's never really been brought up or asked about. And there were definitely like four people who I interact with who like could have brought it up. So I think like it's kind of cool to have like that like respect and like differentiating, even though like bringing it up and like making it, I think, because I agree with you. Like I feel like, and you guys know me, I'm more private about it than you both are. And it's like, I don't want it to be a thing that everybody, you know, just another thing that it's just so out there. And I'm glad that it is for you guys. And I'm glad that you found that like, you know, the happy medium of like now your old coworkers know, but like now like you also will not have to follow up with them every day.
Yes, definitely. No. And yeah, having it on my LinkedIn still, like, which was a more recent ad, and getting the random people also popping up and seeing and talking about it. It's just one of those, we're choosing to put it out there and in the hopes of that it just like reaches the people it needs to reach. And I just try to tell myself that too. If it makes me like a little like, whoa, you know a lot. I'm like, but if it helped you, that's all that matters. That's why we're doing this, is like to help people and reach more people. And I shared with you guys privately, but I had a coworker like find me in the office and say, who just lost her dad, like that she's been on her walks, like looking through our episodes and going back and picking, and can't believe we record like not in the same room and it sounds so natural and that we're so wise and it was so sweet. So if she's listening, she knows who she is. So shout out to her. Of course, we've just been talking because that's what we do so easily. But I did want to check in with Mads as well. And you've been going through so much all at once. And I think we've even sent like those joking memes of like, when is it my turn for the disasters like to stop? Like, when can I just catch a fucking break? Because it feels like you've been endless. And so whatever you feel like talking about from that space, nothing, everything, a piece, you know, whatever feels right, but just know we are here and hope some talking about it can help process.
I appreciate that. Thank you. I'm going to have a sip of wine before I start because I feel like it only feels right.
Perfect.
And candidly, when we first logged on today, I've been kind of back and forth about if I wanted to share what I wanted to share. I told Kathy, I think a few weeks ago, I was like, I'm never talking about this ever again. Like, I don't want to talk about it. I told Kelsey in the group chat this week that I was like, oh, it'll be nice to like finally talk about it. So it's just a weird spot. I'm going to just kind of go for it. And if, you know, something's happened, well, might have to edit it weird for you guys, but you'll understand why. So I was at my annual trip to Hawaii with my family. With my lovely niece, and there was a Thursday, the last Thursday of our trip. I was really trying to disconnect because, you know, I do social media for my job and like I just want to like fully disconnect. So I put my phone on Do Not Disturb, and I came back to it and I had a few missed calls from a good friend in Wilmington, and then she texted me. I was like, Mads, call me immediately. And so I did. And what I found out on that phone call was that we had a friend who was in the American Airlines plane crash in D.C. At that point, all we had known is that he was a passenger and that they said there were no survivors, but they also hadn't found any remains. So we were kind of going through it was very interesting. I think maybe because of the podcast and because we talk about it, I noticed myself going through the stages of grief in real time. There was a time that right when it happened, I was in my room at the condo and Will was there. I kind of just like completely like melted out, threw up, like don't really remember. It was hard because we were on this trip and I was like, I can't do anything. I don't know what to do. It's like, this is like a life changing, like life altering thing. And so I remember in the moment when they were like, well, they said there's no survivors, but they also haven't found any remains. So like, I was like, if somebody's going to survive a plane crash, it's going to be this person. And so like, we were just kind of, me and my friends were just kind of working through the actual stages in a very real way, in very real time. And I mean, the rest of the trip, in the day, I was just refreshing Google with his name because I was hoping that they either found him in some capacity or it could be confirmed, I guess, to make it more real because I couldn't really like grasp it. So I put my hat on and just kept my head low. And then it was tough because people we were with had found out. And so they were checking on me and asking if I had an update and things, and not in a way of like, of course, they were just trying to be helpful, but it was really tough. And then 3 days after that, we had to get on a 2 days after that, we had to get on a like 12-hour flight situation. He does not listen, but God bless Will Demaree. He is such a gift to me. And he dealt with that and handled that all very with grace. And even so, in the months since, he's handled it really, really well. So basically, I'm sure if you follow the news, you know that what happened. There was a crash in the Potomac River in DC. And that was the same river we were on for this person's wedding less than a year ago prior. They had a really hard time getting out debris and finding people and their remains and kind of identifying them. So it kind of felt like this really weird, tragic, hard, like, it was like we didn't know, like we knew, but like it was also like there was no real confirmation. And it was like I've never had an experience of a disaster like that, and then just like the not knowing. And of course, I'm a second ring here, I would say, but it is it was a lot. And so that happened, and then I came home for a couple of days, and then my friends here, we got on a plane. Oh, they ended up, I guess I'll back up a little bit. So they ended up, he was one of the last sets of remains that were found in the river. And so it was finally like, okay, there's a little bit of closure there. And so we went to, I was home for like 3 days, flew to his funeral, flew into Maryland because I decided I'm never flying into the DC airport again in my life. I was there with my friends. I got to see his wife, who is a very, very dear friend of mine. I don't want to say too much about that because that was a very, I was with her the night before her husband's funeral, and I just don't really, haven't really processed all that yet, but it was all very sobering. And it was, it's been incredibly difficult. After the funeral, we got home, I flew back home. I was just there for a weekend. And then we planned a benefit for him because his birthday was in February. And so we've kind of just been go, 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 go. And so to Kathy's point, what she said is that I was sharing therapy notes. And so my new tactic is kind of slowing down and like letting it hit. And it's been very, very difficult, I think, included with the funeral. All of the experience tied together, it's been the hardest thing I've ever done and experienced. So I feel like I can go more into it, but I also want to pause because I know that I don't know if you guys have questions or you want to touch on anything. Maybe lead the conversation more than me rambling about everything that's happened.
You're welcome to talk as long as you want to, first of all, but also happy to jump in, whatever you prefer.
I don't really know. Like, I feel like it's just been horrible. I don't really know what else to say about it, I guess. I think it's just been devastating.
First of all, Kelsey and I were both also so devastated for you. And I like, it's so interesting. I feel like we always say this, but when we're here on a podcast talking about grief, like, we can be so open and say all of these things and advice that we've heard throughout the years and like practices that we know. And then to receive a text like that, I still get frozen sometimes of like, I don't even know what I can say to her right now. Like, that's where my mind went to, of like, I don't even know. And we talk about this all the time. So I can't imagine how like other people, like, it's still, it was also a sobering moment of like how to support. And in those moments, very fresh and in the moment, like, your brain can freeze so easily, even with having knowledge or experience of it. I think what was interesting in terms of like how you coped was like you went into purpose mode of like, how do I, of the things that we just talked about right now, of like being renegade and like turning our grief and like taking the power back and like doing these things. I feel like you dove right into that, especially after you came back from the funeral and like planned the event at in Wilmington to celebrate his birthday in honor of him. And so I think that's sometimes it takes like people do the opposite, where it's like you're processing, you're absorbing all your emotions for like so long, and then it takes, and then you have the energy maybe later to go out and do something about it, versus like your way of coping was like, I want to go do something about this like right now. And so maybe you're kind of like going back to that world of like, oh, well, what were my feelings about that? Or like, how did I, like, there wasn't a time that I took to actually like feel all of that. So I think like that, maybe that's what's like also coming up with your therapist, I would imagine, of like, I wanted to like almost, you want to almost like take the reins and be like, okay, I can go do this. This will help me and make me feel good about it, which I'm sure it did. And also, I don't know if anybody in your world that is listening like saw the pictures and event. It looked so awesome and so cool. Like, I would be so honored like to have a friend like you that wanted to put on an event like that. But at the same time, like, there was probably little runway for you to like actually feel your feelings.
Yeah, I think that was part of the like, it was a bittersweet both like mechanism. And I have to go back because I was thinking as you were talking that I messed up my original story, because I had my phone on Do Not Disturb. I had a friend who my sisters met once text her and message her and say, have Maddie call me immediately. So whenever you said that text feeling, like, I was like, that's what the feeling was. It was like, I didn't have my phone on me. And so she reached out to my sister, who she doesn't talk to often, to have me call her. So I just wanted to clarify, or like they do, I listen to Armchair Expert and they fact check. That's my fact check. Cause I was trying to, as soon as you said that, I was like, oh, that's the feeling. And I feel like all of that was kind of a mechanism to like not have to deal with it or figure it out. It was also really nice because I did it. It was not me, just me. It was a group of his very good friends, his coworkers, my very good friends. So it was basically like a group of us, and we had this big group chat of like 15 of us, 11 of us. And it was really nice to just be able to still talk about it and talk about him. And I think one thing I've really, really, really struggled with, because this has become such a story, and, you know, videos still pop up on my feed all the time of the actual crash happening, I think is just like trying to figure out like what to, there's so many layers to it, as we say all the time. But in the instance, it was like figuring out, it's like we wanted to band together. And I think that that was as much as it was a benefit and something for his family and Audrey, and we wanted to do it for his birthday and his memory. It was also just kind of like, I think what we had to keep ourselves moving, because it seemed so abnormal and devastating and unreal. So I feel like that's kind of like was a coping mechanism in a way. And you're right, it is what I was talking with my therapist about, where she was like, you've been going, going, going. If you didn't feel this right now, I would be more concerned. And I was like, okay.
That was really well said, Mads. I think you described that, which is something incredibly difficult to describe, so well, that – and it was on a catastrophic level so tragic, so unreal, and you have dealt with a lot of other losses and hardships in your life. And of course, it's not a comparison game, but I'm sure there's the sense of like, he was so young, it's so unexpected, it's this public news story, there's a political layer to the public news story. This is like nothing a human being of any kind should ever have to endure. Like, our brains, our bodies are not hardwired to deal with something like this, and where you're watching the news and Googling for information. Like, that is not natural. That is not okay. That is so horrific and devastating. And I think the way you, first of all, also love Will so much. Shout out to Will. Love hearing how supportive and wonderful he was. And you're on this family trip that's also like meant to honor your grandparents. And there's just like so many dimensions to all of that.
And I think as you described, it's like this feeling of like, what do I do with this? Like, I feel so helpless. I feel so awful. You said you're the second ring. You want to help your friend. And it's like there's nothing to do, but the way you banded together with that group and even just like the having the group text, I'm sure planning it, talking about him, talking about how you're going to make it so wonderful, executing it, doing it. Yes, you delayed processing your emotions, but you probably genuinely weren't able or ready to process those emotions. So putting it into something that felt like was doing something for the greater good and for the community and for him, I feel like is so powerful and a way to feel like you're not going to internally combust. Like you were able to channel those feelings. And it is a reminder that for how, you know, horrible the world can be and how tragic the world can be, that like all of you guys coming together to do something so powerful is also a reminder that people can be so good and people can show up for each other and people want to donate their money to these causes and to these families and people want to be present and help. So I'm so in awe of you for how you and carried yourself and handled all of that and handled yourself as a friend. And then now I'm so glad to hear that you're in therapy and advocating for yourself and taking that step to now be like, hey, I also need to figure out how to emotionally process this, because you pressed the pause button a while back and the whole like the body keeps score, like I'm sure like it's been pent up in your body. And I also felt so far away from you and felt just like also, as Kathy was saying, just like, what can you do? And really just trying to think back of like what was available to us from our podcast, but that feeling of helplessness and just wanting to send all the love in the world and make it go away. But yeah, all of that I think is really honest. And again, really well said of how you felt banding together with that group was the step and kind of the only thing you could possibly do with yourself that felt right in that time.
Yeah, thank you. And it's interesting you guys both touched on being far away. So like I was in Hawaii and my friends are on the Atlantic Ocean and I was in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. And like I had felt so incredibly far and I couldn't get there any quicker than my flight was going to go because it was just like the next couple of days. And so I felt so far. And so like it just seems very unreal. Obviously. And I know I've touched on it on the past, but we do this Hawaiian like remembrance prayer, and we did that the last night, and we did it for my friend this time, and it was great. I have a couple photos that I'm happy to share, but yeah, there was a lot of difficult other pieces to it all. Like it was publicized, obviously, and like Kelsey, like you said, there was like some political things going on, and his name was brought up because he's a person of other descent, and there was a lot of just like ickiness. And I'll never forget the first time I saw his picture, Ernie, was in a Guardian article, and that was the first time I realized it had actually happened. I knew that it had happened, but I did not. We were kind of like, it's not happening, like, you know. It's the refreshing, it's the trying to figure it out, because, and I won't get into it to an extent, but also like the way that it was handled on the back end, administrative end, hearing from his family, and it was very frustrating because like nobody had any information. And you know, it was this weird sense of like waking up every day wondering if they'd find his remains or wondering if they'd find something, because there was just so much, nobody knew. I mean, there's lawsuits and Senate hearings and stuff about it now, and it's like nobody knows what happened or why it happened. I found out a bit more and know a little bit more. I'm happy to discuss further offline about this whole situation, but it was just kind of like, just seemed so abnormal and so weird. And even being at the funeral seemed like I wasn't at the funeral. And it's interesting. I don't know if I talked ever about the wedding on the podcast, but my friend is Indian, and in Indian culture, you wear white to funerals, because that is, you know, the symbol of like a rebirth and like pure, like they kind of do this whole cleansing of the body and things. So it was also interesting because I've never worn white to a funeral before. And I thought that it was like, I was glad that we were able to have these traditions and like honor him in the traditional way. It was really fucking brutal. That funeral was literally one of the worst things I've ever done or been to. And I'm so glad I was able to be there, but it was just devastating. And someone said, one of his friends said at the funeral, is that, you know, we've all heard this quote where it's like, they say that the only time everybody you love is in a room is your wedding and your funeral. And we had these within 8 months of each other. And I can't believe that we're back in this room together for this. So I think it was a whole piece of that. It was at the closure. It was not being able to figure it out. What was happening, why it was happening. And I think that the point of when I said I was ready to talk about it with you guys, it's tough, right? Because my friends know, and people are gentle around me, and people are like, let me know if you want to talk. And now it's tough because I'm like, I think about it every single day. And again, shout out Will. We were having a conversation on our anniversary on Friday, and I just started going all into it about something. Like, I bring it up every day. I think about it every day. And it's one of those things, like, I know all my friends who are like, oh, you can reach out and talk to me anytime. I know they're genuine, but it also is like weird. It's like, it feels like I've really struggled with the fact that the world's still turning and that things are going on. And that's something I've always really struggled with grief, but this is a whole other layer of it. I think it's the unexpected. I think it's the unknown. I think it's the shock. I think it's the age and all of the things, and the fact that we were all just, like, the last time any of us saw him for the most part was at the wedding, which was coming up. We're recording this mid-April, and the anniversary of the first year of the wedding is coming up this weekend. So it's been tough. It's been heartbreaking to be a friend to my dear sweet friend. I'm so grateful that I can and know and I'm able to connect with her. But, you know, that's been a whole other thing. And I won't get too much into that either, just because of her privacy. But it has been an incredibly brutal, numbing, sobering experience. And I feel just as bad and just as heavy as I did about it as when we found out, maybe a little bit less because I haven't, like, been able to really cry or anything since the funeral, but, it's been a big, big, life. I will never, unfortunately, forget all of the way this all played out and the way that the feelings and all the things that we've done and had to do. But I'm still grateful that we were able to honor him, and we will continue to. I made everybody bracelets, and I've worn it every day. And it says WWVD, and my friend's name was Vic. And so what would Vic do? And we all wear them around because he truly was so handsome, so smart, an engineer. Like, they were like the dream couple, and they are the dream couple. And he was just one of the best of us. So that's my spiel on that. But I do, I will say that I did get to talk to my other really good friend who I've talked on the podcast about. She reached out to me about talking about her experience when he lost her husband. And it's funny, Kathy, because you said trash liners, that you don't have them at your house. And my good friend who lost her husband a couple years ago was telling me, she's like, you know, we had flowers, we have all this stuff. Like, I was running out of, like, trash liners and toilet paper and, like, all the things. And so I was able to connect with her, and she called me, and we chatted about some good ways I could help support my other dear friend, the wife of the man who passed away. But it's just been a bit of a horrible year so far.
Yeah, to say the least. And the bracelet's so cool. I don't think you told us about the bracelet, the What Would Vic Do? And the fact that you took the time to make them, I'm sure leftover beads from Eras Tour bracelets is what it looks 100%. Like from the visual. That's what I would suspect. I know. I don't know what to do with those beads either. Maybe I should make What Would Vic Do bracelets and send them out to people as well. But I think that sentiment of there's sadly nothing to do to change it, but one of the only things that ever brought me comfort was thinking of, and this was back when my grandpa died, so the very, very, very first, like, real death I experienced was, like, you now get to just live your life doing what he would do, all the best qualities that he had, all the ways he brought, like, wonderfulness into the world. You now are the vessel to carry that on and bring it into the world and embody. And the fact that you tapped into that and took the time to make those bracelets, Mads, in the middle of you also, like, completely dealing with so many layers of all of that is so beautiful. And I'm sure all these people who are so close to him now wear those bracelets or look at those bracelets and think of him. I did want to ask if you wanted to share. I would love to hear more about him. If you just like, I know you just said like he was so smart and so handsome, but if that's too hard, that's also okay. But I just always think it's important that when there's a lot of tragedy, oh, there's so much attention around the death, but I would love to know more just about him as a person. And obviously it's in different contexts now, but I do think I remember you talking about that wedding at the time, because it was like, yeah, around your birthday a year ago, and the pictures, and it looks so wonderful. So again, if it's not, it doesn't feel like the right time to talk about it, that's okay. You can tell me another time, but I just wanted to ask about him more.
No, I appreciate that. I think that I don't know. I teared up even when you brought it up, so I don't know how much I'll actually would get into. But he, so I met him because he was dating my neighbor when I moved to Wilmington, and it was COVID time, so I didn't have any friends besides them. Like, they were the only two people I was really seeing in person, specifically her. But he would come over. It was always like, there's just little things. I mean, he was so smart. He was an aerospace engineer. He was incredibly well, like, presented, and like, but he could also have fun. Like, he was very, like, I feel like he's always sophisticated, and like, and you know, it's funny, even we're looking at the pictures of him, like, we were also like, oh, he was just so, like, cool. Like, he's just so, like, it felt like he felt like it was like the whole package. He really, really respected his family traditions and Hindu traditions, and he really, truly, I've never seen any couple love each other as much as I saw them. And you guys will have to scroll back now and probably cry when you read it, but I wrote that on my Instagram from their wedding. Like, there was true, like, at his wedding, every time I would see him, we would just chatting, and he'd be like, have you seen her? And I'm saying her and him. I'm trying not to use names too much just because of just out of respect. But it was they really, really, really loved each other. And he was just the best. He would come back into town or come over to her place, and I'd be walking out with Eloise, and Eloise would get so excited. He would stop and put down all of his stuff to love on her and to pet her. When he proposed to her, he had had us all at their favorite brewery waiting to surprise her with a celebration. Like, he just truly, he loved, and he would do anything for anyone. He was incredibly, incredibly smart. Even going through this process, I've met some of the people that were in the group I was working with, like his coworkers. And it's very sweet because I have learned, I think of his wife, and again, if you scroll back on Instagram, there's love letters to her as well. His wife is one of the most people who've had the most impact on my adult life, because I moved here and I didn't know anybody. I didn't have any friends. And she truly did not give me the option to not have friends. She would drag me. She would literally pull up in front of my house, which is like, I have a coffee, we're going sunrise surfing. She's the one that taught me to surf. She was like a big sister to me, and she is like a big sister to me. And she was like my person in Wilmington. And so as talking to his friends, meeting up at the brewery to plan this event, I found out that Vic did the same thing for his coworker when he was going through his divorce. And so just they're hearing these, like, these stories of people that, like, saw him every day at work, and that, like, truly got to, like, you know, be loved. If you were loved by them, it was a really, really incredible, incredible feeling. And I feel very lucky that I was able to know him and I know them. And I feel very lucky he opened us all up to his traditions, let us, you know, learn and get those henna tattoos and talk. And he was very – him and his wife – were very patient with each other, and like making sure they were honoring their families right, and you know, doing everything according to like their traditions of their families and their religion and their beliefs. And I think that in this day and age, people still are really great about it, but it's hard to be like, I feel like you can't be the full service package of like, you're great at work, you're very smart, you do all these things, right, you have all these friends, and you're still honoring your family and your traditions and opening other people up to them. And I really, really respect him for that. And really just like, there was never, there's just so many funny things that have happened, but there was just never like a moment where like, he was just the best of us. He was a really, one of the most incredible like men I've ever met. And so, yeah, what would Vic do is funny, because like truly, like I was planning this event with everybody and I didn't want to like do. I was laying in bed one day and I looked at my damn bracelet and I was like, he would get up and finish the fucking flyer. So I have to do it. Like, I just really started, like, using that as little guiders for everything. Yeah, he was very special. Very special.
I was just going to say thank you again for sharing all of it and all of him too with us. I think also sometimes we can get wrapped up in all of this like sadness and really like label a person based on death, but there's so much life that we choose not to celebrate or don't like actually look back on. And so I think it's like really nice to remember all of those memories and him as a person and to continue, like Kelsey said, living that out every day and living that on so that he continues to live on as we do with all of the losses of our loved ones as well. It also never ceases to amaze me like how many lessons you can still learn in grief having gone through so many losses yourself. Like each one brings about a new thing that you don't even know or think about. And I think that's what makes it so interesting too sometimes of like you can like act or control all the things and lessons that you've learned from your previous losses or advice that we've talked about on here. But like it's never any easier at any point to go through a loss again, even because you've been through one already. And like just navigating all the twists and turns of another loss like is always so difficult. So I'm really proud of you for like putting forth all of those lessons and kind of like implementing those practices that we always talk about. And I feel like it was evident in just like the way that you coped, but it was like you're still dealing with a huge loss that like it makes sense also that you have to like actually acknowledge your emotions and like actually be sad about this and like actually grieve, because as much as we want to control or do all of these things to cope because we know that it'll help us and it can help us and it'll help us survive, like there's still a component of surviving that it in like really requires us to like face all of our emotions too. And again, just really, really proud of you for even taking those steps and going to therapy too, because that's a huge step that takes a lot of energy to be able to do and actually acknowledge. So just wanted to say that.
Thank you. I appreciate that. It's funny. I talk about death is weird to all of us, obviously, and it's been something I struggle with and realize I struggle with it more and more. Kind of like I think after this last year, as everybody knows if you listen, if you don't, I lost my two grandmothers within a couple months of each other, and that was like my last remaining family. So since that's been happening, I've been kind of struggling with the like the next in succession is like a parent or like what, like it's just like that whole – it's like an end of an era chapter. And it's my therapist who I owe, she is my favorite person in the entire world. But she made a joke. I told her about what had happened and she goes, "This is really not helpful for your fear of death, is it?"
Oh my God.
What it sure was it. But she's been really wonderful too. I know that this horrible stuff happens all the time and it is devastating. I think the part of it, not just the loss, it's all of the other things kind of like you touched on, Kels, but like the fact that like it was sudden, it was tragic, it was someone who was a couple years older than me, like all of those random pieces and things, like it's interesting because I write about it at work a lot with like my boss has lost their children in a school shooting. But then I feel like this is the longest, I think, in every single day, no distraction will help, nothing. Like I have like not had a full solid day without it like fully consuming me. And I think that it's because of the shock value and all of the things that have gone along with it. And I also wanted to touch on, that's what I was going to say. When we had the Renegade Grief podcast, we moved it around because I really wanted to go. And so we moved it to come be right after my trip. And then I think that's why I told you guys. I think I was like, I don't even remember what I said, but it didn't even feel like I wanted to text you guys when it happened. And it didn't even feel like it was hard to, say it was real until they found his remains. And so I didn't tell anybody besides who I was with because I was like, they haven't found his remains. Who knows? He was one of the last sets to be found. And his friend was like, that was a testament again, just who he was, like making sure everybody else was taken care of and like putting himself in the back, of, you know, making sure that everything else was handled. So it was another kind of like bittersweet and horrible testament to him. But yeah, I think I remember I told you guys, cause I was like, I don't know if I can podcast when I get back from Hawaii. But I also am sending the Love and Grief book to his wife for their anniversary this weekend from the first, maybe the first Emily from Emily's podcast episode. So another time that that's kind of pulling through. But I thank you guys. I know that you've both been patient. I've talked to you both individually and, you know, again, it's that weird thing. It's like, even I know if I'm going to talk about it, I'm going to talk about it with you guys, but it just is like, I don't know. It's like, I'm in this weird spot of like, I want to talk about it or I don't want to talk about it at all. And then like, I think everybody in the world should know this happened because it's so horrible. And there's like no in between of that, and knowing when it's going to pop out. But I really appreciate you guys, checking in on me and, you know, being, you know, shifting plans and being cool to just kind of see, you know, what I was open to. Like you said before we even recorded, Kath, you were like, you never have to talk about it if you don't want to. And I told you guys I didn't want to, and I don't want to. But I think that there has to be a point where it, one, is a feeling I have where it's like, if it's, I don't want it to just go away. Like everything goes, like, you know, something happens and it's just done. Like I think that like it's, I've been struggling with the fact the world's still turning. And that I also like, I think that, you know, talking about it out, like with you guys, like giving myself, you have the opportunity to talk about it, right? Friends like, oh, let's talk about it. Like you can always reach out to me if you want to chat. But it's like, this is literally what we do here is like talk about it. Like whenever you don't want to bring it up, it's the place you can bring it up. So I just appreciate you guys and respecting kind of everything that's been going on and how we've gone about it. It's been a rough couple months.
We love you. And we are here for in any avenue possible. And you know that we get to serve as like the people outside of your everyday life or the people that don't know the other people. So you can't even for a second think it's burdening us. You know what I mean? Like we are built to do this and to be this. And you just have the direct access to it versus all the people who just listen to episodes. You have the access to us in any way possible, and it's never a burden. And we obviously will keep checking in and whichever way that feels good to you. But thank you so much for sharing. I'm sure for those listening that that was really powerful and helpful, and especially for anyone else who's dealt with that kind of tragic, sudden loss, especially of a young person or anyone who's dealt with a loss like in a public setting. I'm sure that was really helpful to them or help them feel less alone. And I just feel inspired by how you described him and their relationship. And I feel like better, if that makes sense, just like knowing about him and like knowing people like him can exist and knowing what he was and what he stood for and how powerfully you spoke about him and all of his friends and what he showed up as, and just a reminder of like, caring about other people matters and showing up for people matters, and you don't realize the impact you're making on people, and you're helping just grow his impact, because now I wouldn't have known about him and now I do, and then I can pass it on to more people and it can just continue to be the butterfly effect or whatever they call it. But we love you, and I know this year has been brutal, and I am manifesting the karmic balance to reshift in the other direction for you for the rest of the year and gift you rep TV, gift you happy memories and vacations and win the lottery and do all the things to karmically balance out all the things that you've been dealing with.
No, I just want to say one more thing. I didn't she doesn't listen and she won't, but I just want, my boss has been so freaking amazing with this whole year. I didn't take off any time, but I ended up telling her about it just so she kind of knew where my headspace was. And like, we're going to an all staff retreat next month. And she even was like, are you going to be okay flying? Like, she is like, not for, like, she keeps kind of, she doesn't bring it up, but like, she's just been making sure to take care of me and check on me in another way. And I just, I mean, she doesn't listen, but just to put her goodness out and that she's been really showing up. I made a note in my, that was the first note I made. Because I think it's been really, she's like, even if it hits you later, just take a day. So like, it just having that support all around has been really helpful.
love hearing of support in the workplace and people in your life. Just, yeah, subtly knowing that they're thinking of you, even if it's in little ways, and understanding goes a really long way. But this was obviously so, so needed. We all hadn't done a good long catch up in a while. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We know this is a longer one, but we had a lot to cover. As always, please subscribe, follow everywhere you get podcasts. Follow us on Instagram at The Morning Crew, MourNing, and send it to a friend who needs to hear it. But thanks for listening.
Bye.